Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Wondery's new podcast, This Job is History, is hosted by Chris Parnell from Saturday Night Live and Rick and Morty. Steeped in factual history, this brilliantly funny podcast delves into quirky and absurd jobs from the past. Clock in and listen to This Job is History on Amazon Music or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, hello, and welcome to the sweet, soothing sounds of Watch What Crappens, a podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. That's how I'm going to sound in 10 more years of this. Welcome to Watch What Crappens, Summer House Edition.
You sound like a wise old tree.
I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Benins.
Hi. Hi, how are you, Ronnie?
Good, because we're talking Summer House today, which we always love to talk about.
Yes.
And we always love talking to you, dear heart out there. And we're really excited because we are getting to do that live, touring the country, seeing you, meeting you, talking to your face. Okay, we get to say it to your face. So come see us. This weekend, we start a two-weekend jaunt. We are going to start Thursday night, the 23rd, in
Denver,
Colorado, at the Summit Theater. And then the next night, on the 24th, Friday, we're going to be in Salt Lake City. In Denver, we're doing Vanderpump Rules. In Salt Lake City, we are going to be doing the other show that we like to do out there. Ben, what is it?
Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip.
Oh, my God.
Salt Lake City.
In Thailand, I mean, the Thailand in Salt Lake City, amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
And then the next weekend, we're going to be in Seattle and San Francisco. And go get your tickets. You get them at watchwhatcrappens.com. After that, just so you know what's coming up after that for everybody, we're going to be in Toronto, Philadelphia, New York City, Washington, D.C., San Diego, St. Paul, Minnesota, Chicago, Columbus, Boston, and Massachusetts at the Foxwoods Casino to end it all up. So we're super excited. Join us. Patreon.com is where you find our bonus episodes and our Crappens On Demand videos. Anything you would like to add to that, Benoons?
I'm already exhausted from all that traveling we're about to do. Wow, that's a lot of places, but it's going to be great. It's going to be so excited, especially, you know, the live shows for Vanderpump Rules are going to be our, you know, we did it in Charlotte, and that was wild, the energy in there, but, you know, it's great. It's great to go back to all these places. So yes, we're excited. But I just want to say also, I'm really excited for Salt Lake City because I've never been there, and we were going to go there right before the pandemic. It was like literally the pandemic happened a week before. It was our first casualty of the pandemic, and I'm excited now that the Real Houses of Salt Lake City has now happened there since the pandemic. I'm now very Salt Lake City curious. So I'm really thrilled that we're going to a Real Housewives city on Friday. So that's what I have to add to all that.
Do it, man. Okay, yeah. So here we are with Summer House Season 7, Episode 6. We are hanging disco balls for a Studio 54 party, which I have to say is better than a Great Gatsby party, but not by much.
I must correct you, because I believe this is a Studio 54-est party, if you remember. There was some wordplay. I'm not sure that we saw the theme really carried through in the party. We didn't see anyone dressed sort of like a tree. Didn't see anyone dressed like those walking trees from Lord of the Rings, also wearing, you know, like disco roller skates or something. But that was technically the theme of it, just Studio 50 Forest.
God, you have a really interesting view of the forest. I'm like, it's where you piss on road trips or fuck on road trips. So
that's where trees come to life and fight for your cause.
So are you fucking tree fighting for your cause in the forest?
Didn't you know that? So yeah, they're decorating for this party, and Gabby's throwing disco balls into the hot tub because she's like, I'm using the pool as a decorative element. So it's already looking very sad, and they made this like very sad photo wall. They basically ordered only one thing of tinsel to put on a wall, and they need like many, many more. So it's just kind of hanging Mylar, like dangling Mylar blowing in the wind. It was terrible.
It's like used car lot fringe, mm-hmm. you know, that plastic fringe. So Paige is like, wow, this looks really great, guys. She's like, shut up, Paige. She's like, yeah.
Wow, this photo wall is Barry Talbot's, as in sad, deeply sad.
I get what you're going for, but no. And Sierra is like, I can juggle disco balls. And she does. And then we go to Lindsay and Carl. And Lindsay's like, are you okay, babe? And he's like, yeah, babe. But I have to talk to Carl, babe. I'm really, really anxious.
Anxious what?
Babe.
Yeah, babe.
I haven't talked to Kyle since last weekend. And, like, I know I have to. But, like, I just haven't had the, I don't want to say ball, but probably balls. And I'm just like worried that our friendship is like in serious jeopardy. Like, what is friendship for 400, please? It's in jeopardy. So I need to tell Kyle, like, don't ever talk to my babe girlfriend like that. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, yeah, we'll stand off my girl. What's Carl's thing with his balls? Does he have three balls or one ball?
I think he has three balls.
He has three balls.
I think
balls,
that's his
right?
thing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So then Amanda and Carl, Amanda and Kyle show up, and we hear the horn honk, and it sounds like this. Kyle.
And they brought their two little dogs with them, which are very cute, but they're also the kind of dog owners that when they bring their dogs around, they become about 40% less fun.
Their dogs are so cute. I don't even care. Like, I'm totally fine with it. Their dogs are so cute. So Gabby is watching from the window. She's like, oh, my God, dogs. And so, of course, everybody runs to see the dogs. And mm-hmm. The dogs are barking, running all over the house. And Carl's like,
I think they're here. I hear dogs barking, babe.
And he's like, oh, my God, dogs, babe.
And Amanda's like, as sad as I was last weekend, I decided to come back because I'm not going to let anyone, let alone Lindsay, dictate how I'm going to spend my summer. Tomorrow's my birthday. Wait, like, was there actually a consideration that Amanda wasn't going to come to the house this weekend? Why is she acting like for a moment she was going to sulk in the city instead of being in the Hamptons on camera? No, absolutely
on her not. Birthday. Yeah. On her birthday. I mean, she's gotten to do her favorite thing almost every birthday here, cry and whine. Okay. She's not going to miss that to be home alone. Now, here's one thing that dog owners do around me that I really don't like. And I am a dog owner and I do tend to do this. So I apologize for the hypocrisy. But when people talk in baby voice to their dogs around me, they're like, hey, Racy, want to meet my friends? Like, no, I don't. Like, what's wrong with your dog? Your dog can't handle normal speaking. Could you please don't talk to your dog? It's like you're putting your dog down in front of me. It's like you're treating your dog like a fucking idiot in front of me. You know, it's like, it's cringy.
I don't like that either. You know what I also don't like? I don't like people telling me like stories about their dog's quirks. I don't like it when they tell me about their dogs or their children. And honestly, probably any pet. To be honest, I would extend to any pet, but it just really feels like it's like dog owners do this a lot. Like, oh my God, like he thinks he's like a human. He like follows me around. Oh, real. Wow. Real original. Is it because you feed him and he wants food? Is that why? He's like a human. Like, it's crazy.
It's Stockholm syndrome. The dog doesn't have anybody else except you. You've kidnapped the dog from its family. Okay. Then you've kept it locked. You've kept it locked in a big box, which is your apartment or your house. All it sees is you, and it's learned to thank you for the fucking terrible dog food that you give it every day. Like, it's not some animal they get to kill and eat. It's like some shit Purina or whatever. The dog has Stockholm syndrome, you know?
And it gets kind of like free massages every day, more or less, you know?
Yeah, being and pet it's like, this is my life. Nice. This is my life, you know? I lay around staring at a wall until this person gives me 5 minutes of energy a day. You know, it's a sad life. So, anyway, come here, Reese. You want to say hi to my friends? Speaking of sad life, Chris with his terrible hair.
Oh, jeez.
Okay. Chris. Poor Chris. I just feel for him because he's trying. I don't know what he's trying to do, but I know that he's trying. And he's trying very hard. I feel like he should get something.
Yeah, but I think that Chris thinks he's more charming than he is, unfortunately. I think, the Chris train has left. He's hot. But he's not, he's not enough though. He's just not enough. So Gabby needs deodorant, in case anyone was wondering. And Lindsay's like,
"Babe, the party starts in 5 minutes, so we gotta hurry, babe, babe."
And she, when she's saying this, she's like, walks down the hallway, and Amanda's in the hallway, and Lindsay just like keeps walking down the hallway without saying hi to Amanda. Although there's a chance she didn't see Amanda, but either way.
I thought they saw each other and ignored each other.
Yeah, it was icy.
Love it. So Lindsay's like, "I know that Carl is going to talk to Kyle, so I have no plans whatsoever at having a conversation. I'm just here to have a good time." So then Amanda's getting ready with Kyle, and she's like, "How do you feel about seeing Carl, Kyle?"
Yeah. Well, I'll be like, "Dude, how was your week?" And then, like, I'll, you know, I'm like, "Hey, I sent you a text on Sunday. I never heard back." And he's like, "Yeah, this is the first time I've had real anxiety about what I'm going to say to my best friend. I mean, to be across the hall from Carl, getting ready for a party, and feeling the tension in the air, I feel like a fish out of Loverboy. It's crazy."
So then Carly, that's my sister. Hi, Carly. Carl puts on a curly wig, and Sierra has an afro on. And then she starts doing this character that she really commits to, you know. So
she's committed.
She's like, "I'm Karma Brown." And Karma Brown's spicy, and she's not involved in the drama. Karma Brown, everybody, it's me, Karma Brown. And you know then what? She keeps saying bam over and over. She keeps going, "I'm Karma Brown. Bam! Oh, bam!" Like, that she's is Emerald. Like, how are you gonna give your Karma Brown character Emerald qualities?
You know, she's sort of doing a little like a 1970s blaxploitation a bit, you know. So I respect her for trying to change it up. I think it was lost on everyone in the house. I just think they didn't get the joke. They just were like, "Ha ha ha." So, Chris is, Chris is trying to show personality by decorating a tree. And that's basically what he's doing. He's basically hanging this kebab on a tree.
Yeah. So everybody's getting dressed in their wacky 70 outfits. And Oliver comes, and Maya's like, "Babe, I felt your presence. I poured you a shot. So I felt you were coming. So that's why I got you a shot." I'm really starting to like Maya's just stoner awkwardness.
I like the fact that Maya seems like she's smarter than everyone in the house, and she's not even really sure why she's in this house, but she's just like, "Well, whatever. I used to date Kwame, and this is going to be my waiting to exhale experience being in this random house with these strange people."
I'm definitely not going to mention Kwame anymore, that's for sure. So Amanda's like, "Love it. I love your outfit, Kyle. I love it for you. You got this, babe." And then Sam is getting dings as she walks through the house. She's walking through, and we just hear ding, ding, except they're Australian. So they're like, "Ding, ding, ding."
They're like, "Wah, wah, wah. Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 wah." What did you do? Text messages. Wah, 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 wah. Sam is crushing on an Australian guy named Tim, who she's hoping to meet up with later. And the reason why you know she wants to meet up with him later is because for the next 30 minutes of the show, she's like, "Does anyone want to go to Montauk tonight? Yeah, like, Tim's going to be there. It's going to be like a house party. Montauk? You guys want to go to Montauk tonight?
Guys, there's an Australian person in Montauk. I'm going to see him. I love Australia.
You guys
want to
go to Montauk?
Montauk.
You guys want to go to Montauk? He's like so hot. He's so cute. You want Montauk? Montauk?" Yeah.
So arrivals as they all move outside to the quote-unquote party. And Sierra's still going, "My name is Karma, and Karma's a bitch, and you better ask about her." Bam! Add the spices. Bam! Add the pepper.
Paige just watching. I don't get it. So then Carl's like, "Hey, babe."
"Hi, babe. Oh, you're blinding me with your ball."
Did you have a disco ball?
Sorry, babe. It was a disco ball.
Yeah. Just like a new me. I'm just like experimenting with balls, you know? Because I've got three, but like, what if I have another one? You know what I'm saying, babe? Hey, babe. You look great, by the way.
Cut to Sam, just, you know, doing the Sam. "Oh my God, my man isn't coming, but like his friends are coming, and he's Australian. He's so hot. Like, my man's gonna get, he's like so hot, you guys. He's Australian." And Sierra's looking around this party, which is nothing. Like, it's hardly decorated. Nothing is going on. And she's like, "This is a travesty. Where's the champagne tower? Where's the music?"
There's like 20 people there. it's basically just like a barbecue, right? And they're trying to all dance as if there's something major going on. And meanwhile, Gabby is like, I'm going to go change into my second look. I'm like, it's been 5 minutes and there's not even any music playing. Why are you going into a second look? And Carl's like, oh, second look? Whoa. Wow. Second look. Wow. Anyone want to pile on the second look commentary? Anyone? Second look?
I don't have anything second look, babe, but you need to talk to Kyle, babe. Address it head on immediately, babe, and do not wait, babe.
Well, hopefully as soon as he walks out, I can address it. But in the meantime, babe, you look great. You look great, babe.
So Paige is with them and she goes, wait, well, Paige is somewhere. I don't know. It's a party, so it gets confusing who's where. But Paige goes, wait, Kyle and Amanda look so good. You guys, you look so good. And then it just cuts to Lindsay giving a stank face like,
yeah, they look so not good.
And the music becomes like Inception. The music's like, blah, blah, blah.
And Amanda's like, man. Hey, friend. Carl goes, oh, hey, how are you? Carl's like, I didn't even recognize you. Whoa, you went all out. Dude, we traded places because, like, now you got a wig on. I grew out my wig. That's my real hair. So.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool observation, bro. Hey, before the party gets started, I'd love to
catch up. Your weight on catch me. Up? No,
yeah, catch up. Yeah, let's go catch up.
Okay. I can put my weight on you too if you want.
Like, yeah, that'll be great, bro. Because if you don't, I'm gonna bury you. I'm gonna fucking bury you. Just kidding. Hey, you want to go in the shade? Let's do that. Let's go in the shade. You like the shade?
Let's do it. So Lindsay is just like laser focused on them, watching them from across the yard. And Danielle's like, "I'm sorry, but I'm sorry, but Carl is a damn snack."
I think they were talking about Kyle, actually. I think they liked Kyle's outfit because Paige is like, that's a great outfit. Like, he was born in the wrong era, okay? And Amanda's like, yeah, well, the sparkly pants are mine. Wait, those are men's pants? Please tell me you didn't pay full price for them. You did? Oh, God.
All right, let's have a man talk. Okay, because, listen, yeah, okay, like, all right, hold on. All right, so Saturday night, it was, like, kind of hard to be around that. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I just kind of like snapped, you know?
Yeah, but I don't like think I've ever, like ever, seen you get that angry. Like, ever. So.
Yeah, and like, I appreciate your text last weekend. Like, that was really cool. But like, I don't love how you're speaking to Lindsay. And I think you could tell I didn't love it by the way I was like that. And so like, you were really fired up. And I was like, does he think the stuff? Like, oh, do you guys even like me and Lindsay? I kind of feel like we're America's sweethearts right now. Just being honest.
I gotta be honest, man. Like, you've changed. And that's now because you're spending a lot more time with Lindsay. I mean, you love the girl. I get it. So.
Yeah, well, I want to marry the girl. Oh, marry the girl today.
Oh, yeah. Well, take the boyfriend hat off for 1 second. And just, I still come back to the fact that our friendship has changed. And where that stems from is contention between Lindsay and Amanda. So, well, yeah. It also kind of comes from you screaming, when actual assholes and actual bitches get their way. I don't know. I'd love for you guys to be able to blame this all on the ladies not getting along. But you're also a massive dick, Kyle, okay? You're a massive dickhole sometimes.
Yeah, well, it's like also he is your employee and he's feeling undervalued as an employee. But also, Carl, you're his employee and you're not doing what you should be doing as a worker. So, yeah, I think it's not – you can't just pin it all on the women.
Yeah, I mean, they don't get along and I get that. But you guys are jackasses. So let's keep it here for a moment, okay, shall we?
Okay.
So then Lindsay is talking to Sam and Sam's like, well, at least they're finally talking. I mean, instead of just like not talking about it, like if they were the guy that I'm going to go see in Montauk later, they'd be talking about it like this.
Okay, that's like, enough now. Like, settle down there, young one.
Oh my God, I hate myself. I'm too much. I hate myself. Are you drowning yourself? You don't have to drown yourself.
Actually, I'm not. I'm just giving myself a chlorine facial. Yeah, we've been talking about a lot on the magazine that I work at. So Amanda's like, Lindsay, it's a lot of voices, a lot of like different levels of shrill you have to do. Lindsay uses the word friend as a weapon and she like weaponizes it against me. And I'm like, not a good friend. I'm like, not this. I'm not that. I'm in a place where I'm like, Lindsay, I'm sorry I feel that way, but like, you feel that way, but like, I'm not apologizing for anything else. Kyle.
So So Kyle's saying, listen, Amanda's been trying for 6 years to get on Lindsay's good side. And Carl's like, uh-uh, because Lindsay's been really hurt by things Amanda's done. And Kyle's like, well, what has Amanda done?
He goes, yeah, well, like, uh-huh, me and Lindsay are, like, looking at houses. And Amanda's like, it's just starting to look at houses. So, I'm there.
Oh, it's probably, it was pretty awful that she said that. And then we see, like, footage from the reunion where Amanda's like, guys, I just get nervous at how fast you're moving, which honestly I think is a pretty benign thing to say. And the fact that they're like, oh, this is like what Amanda's doing. Like, can you believe that? Like, she like doesn't support our relationship right now. Oh, it's terrible.
Especially it's not weird that Lindsay would think that, because Lindsay is always into jumping into something. You know, she's like, okay, yeah, Here's my list. You need to be ready in 2 weeks, you know. But Carl is the one who's always shying away from everything. So for somebody to be like, Carl, maybe this is a little fast for you, person who can't keep a plant alive yet. Like,
yeah, person who's going through massive life changes and emerging from like some big trauma and facing big trauma. She's like, maybe you're going a little fast. And it's not really undermining. It's like giving an honest impression, which is what's funny is that Lindsay's always about like, I'm straight up, I just say it how it is, like, I want you to tell me. And like, she just basically said it. And I think like, the truth is that they probably could ding Amanda for some other sort of passive aggressive things that she's done, but like that's what you're gonna like hang this all on?
Well, I guess from Lindsay's view, she's like, this girl hates me, she's done nothing but try to undermine me, and now she's gonna try and undermine my relationship with Carl.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Lindsay's coming in with a lot of stuff from reunion that I think in the season, everyone tries to pretend that reunion stuff didn't happen.
Yeah.
Right.
But the truth is that, I mean, again, I'm always going back to season 2, which may be unfair, but it feels like a lot of these grudges have roots to there, where they like literally cut Amanda out of Instagram photos. It was like a whole click.
It was like, not they, Lindsay. Wasn't it Lindsay?
It was
wasn't
Lindsay.
Wasn't it like solely Lindsay doing it?
No, it was like a little clique. Remember, wasn't it Lindsay, the Workers twins, and wasn't it Steven? Didn't they have like a little group? And then Kyle had to write like a 17-page manifesto. It'd be like, right, you made my girlfriend better, you know?
Yeah, I remember all that. So funny.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappin's Come.
Life is short, and it's full of a lot of interesting questions. What does happiness really mean? How do I get the most out of my time here on Earth? And what really is the best cereal? These are the questions I seek to resolve on my weekly podcast, Life is Short with Justin Long. If you're looking for the answer to deep philosophical questions like what is the meaning of life, I can't really help you. But I do believe that we really enrich our experience here by learning from others. And that's why in each episode, I like to talk with actors, musicians, artists, scientists, and many more types of people about how they get the most out of life. We explore how they felt during the highs and sometimes more importantly, the lows of their careers. We discuss how they've been able to stay happy during some of the harder times. But if I'm being honest, it's mostly just fun chats between friends about the important stuff. Like, if you had a sandwich named after you, what would be on it? Follow Life is Short wherever you get your podcasts. You can also listen ad-free on the Amazon Music or Wondery app.
Commercial.
So basically, they're making about the girls, right? So Carl's like, you know, it's just like weird to hear it. Like, I would never talk to you about your relationship in that way. And like last Saturday night, like to have it come, like it just seems like there's some deeper shit there.
Yeah, like you're not doing your fucking job, Carl. And then coming in and asking for a raise. Like, what the hell?
And Kyle's like, well, you guys are reading between lines that like literally don't exist. Yeah, well, I'm not really dealing with lines that much more these days. All right, well, I get that. So listen, Amanda walks around on eggshells with Lindsay. She goes, oh, well, I think it's the other way around. Like, that's why it's so hard. I mean, Lindsay, obviously famously known for walking around on eggshells. I mean, look, she's like basically a wallflower.
Lindsay walking on eggshells. Are you kidding me?
Obviously, she's polarizing and complicated. I just wish we could all have, like, you know.
He's like, trust me, I wish we were going on double dates. I wish that so, so badly.
I just wish they could talk. Like, regardless of what happens with Loverboy, I wish we could just, like, check in with each other. I could be like, bro, and you can be like, bro. And I could be like, you going to Barry's Boot Camp? And you could be like, bro.
Be great. Hey, Let's make an oath to one another that we can maintain for about 3 days. No matter what's going on with the ladies, let's not get in the middle of this type of stuff that's going to drive a wedge between us. Can you do that between now and Wednesday? Because I think that's about as long as I can hold on to an oath.
Yeah. Again, guys, this is not about the ladies. This is about you hiring your best friend who's trying to become sober in an alcohol company and then sending him to literal bars to do tastings and then fighting with him while you're fall down drunk while he's not doing his damn job. You guys have enough of your own issues, okay?
Exactly.
Keep the focus in the house.
They're just blaming it all on the women, right? Yeah. And Kyle's saying like, oh, well, it's never easy to work with your best friend. And we just have to focus on our friendship. He's like, I let the friendship and I let the frustration, disappointment, and hurt get the best of me. And I'm hoping to get back to what this is all about, which is spending a summer with my friend promoting Loverboy on national television.
So Lindsay is still watching. So she's like, oh, it's done. And Paige is also watching. And she's like, huh. Kyle and Carl hugged. She's like bored. It's like the most boring show she's ever seen.
I'm only saying that out loud because I know that Lindsay may have cataracts right now. So I just want to narrate things for her so she knows what's really happening in the house around her.
Yeah, I'm just closed captioning it audio style for Linz. And Sierra's like, do you think they cried? Do you? I think he cried. But that's okay because men can cry. Bam! At the adobo.
There's more party time, dancing, still only like 10 people there. And then they have this is like the scene of Paige being indoors texting, and we're hearing a lot of text noises and beeps, but we don't see anything and it doesn't amount to anything. So I wonder if it was like there was a conversation that then was removed, so like we just don't see the text bubbles because it's just her texting, right?
Yeah, that was really weird. So then Sam is still going around going, are you coming to Montauk later? Because, like, there's a party in Montauk, and, like, I want to make out with an Australian guy, and, like, there's one in Montauk. Also, other Australian guys. Do you know any Australian guys? It's really far. Do you know in Australia it's, like, tomorrow?
I think I'm going to go inside and look at the refrigerator and see what brand it is for my dream home.
In Australia, I already made out with this guy. Okay.
Does anyone want some salami? Found some on the counter?
So then Chris and Oliver are in the hot tub, and this is so awkward watching Chris trying to talk to girls. Oh, my God. So they're like, hi. And he's like, hi. So, yeah, they're like, how do you guys know each other? And he's like, well, we've been friends since the third grade. They're like, oh, my God, you met in school? That is, like, such a coincidence, and now you're both here together? What a coincidence.
And then, like, while she's saying this, it keeps kind of Chris going, nope. Like, he just, like, made it up that he went to school with Oliver. So then he tells us, I just love messing with a girl. Like, I love teasing, you know? I want to know that this girl can joke, and if she can give me shit back, she's a keeper. I'm like, you know what? Like, I get it. If you want, anytime you're going to date someone, you want to see that, like, oh, if you crack jokes, they're going to get it too. But you got to crack good jokes, you know? Like, don't do the stupid joke of like, yeah, we went to school together. Really? No. Oh. Like, you have to have some punchlines before you can see if they can joke back with you.
Yeah. So then he's like, yeah, you know, my personality, like, if she can give it back to me, then that's the one. And then it cuts to him going, oh, my God, the sun is on your face right now. I'm like, seriously, it's on your face right now. You suck. Get off my TV. Who put you on here? How did you get past the – isn't there some federal organization that, like, screens people for coming on TV? The fuck off my TV, sir.
They really struggle on this show sometimes to cast good male characters, you know? I feel like – well, I feel like we – you know, I think the last really good one was Luke. And then it seemed like we had – I mean, Andrea was pretty good, but then they got rid of Andrea. So – but we struck out with Alex. We struck out with this guy, like – we need to work on this. So now Carl and Lindsay are being cutesy, of course, because that's what they do. And Lindsay's like,
you look like a washed up rock star. And he's like,
yeah, I'm a washed up disco man. yeah, babe. Oh, that's exactly what I am.
So she asked about the conversation. He's like, well, I feel better, you know, like, obviously I'm not okay with how he spoke to you last week. And he said, like, that was in direct reaction to something you said to Amanda. And look, I don't know if you're comfortable talking to Amanda. She goes, that's what you talked about? And he goes, well, yeah, I'm telling you what we discussed. She goes, oh, so that was like a really long conversation and the only thing you talked about was me?
Thank you.
So then I would think that she'd be happy about that. But Carl's like, no, it was about you and Amanda, and I think you guys need to have a conversation. She goes,
if I had it my way, we would have talked all the time, because I'm a very direct communicator, as you can tell by me absolutely not talking to Amanda right now.
I've been directing you to communicate all day long. I'm a communication director. I'm a very direct communicator. So Carl's like, yeah, I know. She's getting pissed now. She's like, it doesn't seem like you know. And he's like, well, don't make this more difficult than it needs to be. You and Amanda need to talk. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, what, I'm supposed to just go up to her and be like, hey, you hurt me, and I'm begging you to apologize? And he's like, I'm dealing with this shit. I have to. And that's what I'm talking about with Kyle. And then we just get a creepy shot of Paige staring from an upper yes, window. It was so weird.
It was hilarious. You're just up there staring.
It just cuts to a shot of Paige, like just staring down at them from the window.
It was like a ghost. It was like this is the ghost that lives in the house. Like, girl, I spotted it.
It was like Discount in the Attic.
But by the way, you know what was funny to me? I love Amanda saying, I'm sorry, Lindsay saying, I'm not going to just go up to Amanda and say you hurt me, when like she's literally spent the first half of this episode saying to Carl, you have to talk to Kyle right away. Like, as soon as you see him, like, talk to him. You got to talk to him right away. Have you talked to Kyle yet? Have you talked to Kyle? And then she's like, oh, wait, I'm supposed to go talk to Amanda? And then also says that she's a very direct communicator too.
So then she's like, well, don't be mad at me. It's like, I'm not mad at you. She's like, then don't come at me. And he's like, I'm not coming at you. Trust me. You'll know. If I was coming at you.
Yeah. You'll see a lot of dirt on your eyes because I'll be burying you. I'm going to bury you. Yeah. If I come at you.
Yeah. You're going to have some seeds in your eyes because I'm going to like blueberry you. That's how much I'm going to bury you. All the berries. So we're seeing the first cracks in their fake, you know, possibly fake relationship.
I think it's a real relationship with a fake happy. I think there's like a fake cheeriness about it, you know?
So, yeah, I think they're really dating. I just think, I don't know what I think. Okay, so Carl's like, well, I wish we could just all be closer, like the four of us. And she goes, how can we be closer when she says all the shit she said to me and I say I'm hurt and she doesn't do anything about me being hurt, huh?
Like, I don't need to beg for a conversation. I'm, like, expecting that from Amanda and it's, like, not coming.
So then,
they're making fun of her. Amanda is cracking me up because she knows they're talking about her, right? And she can hear little parts of it. And she goes, are they talking about me? I mean, God. She goes, I love the way Lindsay gets really mad. And then she smiles and laughs. And it cuts to Lindsay going, it's not happening.
So then Lindsay is saying, like, there's nothing that she's ever done about my feelings. He goes, well, didn't she apologize to you, like, over text?
Like, over text, but, like, and so that means, like, she led me to believe that there'd be, like, a bigger conversation in person?
And that hasn't happened.
No.
And so that's what I'm saying. There's a conversation that needs to be had. That's what I'm saying. You just got buried with my logic right now.
I know, but she wants Amanda to initiate the conversation, but Amanda initiated the text. So if she initiated the text, then you have to initiate the conversation or text her back.
Or you just also,
how it works.
And you just also can't do this whole thing of like, I'm a very direct communicator and then be sitting there waiting for someone to come up to you.
So she's like, well, I do want to fix things. And he's like, well, perfect. Let's play beer pong then. Because there's like nothing else to talk about. Say, Sam, want to play beer pong? Want to play beer pong? We're going to pretend nothing's wrong right now. Babe, 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 babe.
Sam, have you been just like standing here next to us this entire conversation? Yeah, I have. I was just wondering. Just want to get a temperature check on Montauk for tonight. Is there going to be a little trip to Montauk?
So then Danielle is talking to somebody and she goes, oh my God,
Did you see that? Look at that couple right there. Have you seen, like, how do you have a serious conversation and then turn around and play beer pong? Danielle, get on fucking line and meet some people. You know what I mean?
Danielle is I don't disagree with her, but I also feel like, Danielle, you're way too involved in other people's business. I mean, she's not wrong. Because then we see, like, Lindsay and Carl clearly have unsettled tension. And then all of a sudden, she's like, yes, babe, we just got a shot. And she, like, jumps on Carl in the classic Lindsay way. And then we see Chris pretending to throw a girl in the pool. Classic joking, just really testing those limits. And then Sam is like, hey, is anyone planning to go to Montauk? Like, if you go, don't go without me. Thanks, because my boy toy is in Montauk.
I want to get some dick. Yeah. I want to get some dick.
So then Carl and Danielle sit down, and she's like, yeah, I saw you and Lindsay talking. Every time I see her in a chat with you, she seems to be heated. And he's like,
well, you know, trying to communicate can be hard sometimes when she's drunk. It's like, oh, God.
Here we go.
See, this is
now.
The thing. When you get in a relationship with a sober person, I feel like you almost have to be sober. But listen, you still have the right to drink. No, I'm not going to take that away from Lindsay. She doesn't have to be sober for Carl. She should be sober for herself, because this is what happens when you have a drink. The sober person always goes, oh, well, you're drunk. So,
or at least the freshly sober person, because it feels like that's, I think it's like you're so fresh and out of it. I mean, I don't know. I haven't been in that position. But, like, it seems like we see that a lot. That, like, we see it with Lala. We saw it with Countess Luann. We see it with, you know, it's so fresh. It's like
it, well, Lala it sort still of does
consumes
it.
Your mouth, consumes your mind, though, right? Because you've just gone through the recovery like, you're fresh in the recovery process. So now you're sort of, like, kind of, like, you know, it's like anything, right? Like, if you just started CrossFit, all of a sudden you talk about everything you compare to CrossFit, you know? So, like, now he's, like, Carl's doing that thing. Like, well, she's drunk. She's drunk.
Yeah, so it's like when you're dating a sober person or a newly sober person, whatever, it's best for yourself to be sober, because they will use it against you at every chance they can. Okay, trust me. I've been the not sober person, and I've been the sober person, and I'm just as guilty when I'm sober for 2 seconds. It's like if I lose 2 pounds and everyone I see in the crosswalk, I'm like, really? I could do it. Why can't you? You know, it's like a natural thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like the CrossFit thing. It's like when people start doing CrossFit, then all of a sudden everything they say is like, oh, you should really do CrossFit. Like,
oh my,
like,
God, or keto. Oh, you know who's terrible with this? Those people who eat livers. You know those people who are like, I hate seed oils, and all I eat are, like, it's like Ryan Culberson and Brianna from
It's like the caveman. It's not paleo, but it's just like the meat.
Something like that. Yeah, they're like, we only eat giblets and kidneys. You're like, what? And we hate seed oils. And they'll put, like, signs in their yard that are like, no seed oils. It's like those people. They get instantly super judgy just because they ate a kidney for breakfast.
Yeah. So either way, we're seeing glimmers of this with Carl. And so then Lindsay and Paige are sitting on, like, a day bed, and Lindsay's like, guys, and communicating is just, like, so hard. Like, Carl was like, you and Amanda need to talk. And I was like, I know. And Paige is like, well, why don't you just, like, pull her to talk? Is it because she's standing on an uneven surface, which would be difficult for your walker? Is that why?
Also hysterical that she sits with Paige like they're girlfriends. Like, yeah. Oh, I just can't wait to rely on Paige. So she's like, why don't you just talk? I mean, just glue your teeth in and talk.
And Lindsay's here's your like, hearing aid so you can hear what she has to say.
Lindsay's like, I'm very hurt by multiple things. And Paige goes, well, does she know that? Because how can she come to talk to you if she doesn't know that? And Lindsay goes, because I don't make a big deal out of things, Paige.
As she's screaming. She goes, By the way, when you say that you're hurt by multiple things, are you just talking about arthritis right now? Or
is it only when storms are coming?
Have you been taking your Boniva?
Can you feel rain in your knees? back to Carl and Danielle. Carl's like, I was just telling her, like, you should talk to Amanda, and she wasn't really receptive, so I walked away right into beer pong, where she, like, jumped up on me and gave me a good thigh squeeze, you know, with her legs, like we're on The Bachelor, and it was done.
And Danielle's like, for two of the most outspoken people, you guys sure internalize a lot of things. I'm like, well, that's funny, because Danielle definitely externalizes a lot of things about things that don't involve her.
Yes. So Paige, back to Paige and Lindsay, Paige is like, why are you holding it in? She's like, oh, I mean, it's not just one thing. It's like multiple things. And like she said, it's too soon to move in with Carl. And Paige is like, oh, thank God, finally an in. Well, Danielle said that too.
What?
Paige, and then we get my favorite sound.
Paige goes, yeah, she was saying he's only a year and a half sober. And like, then they might get engaged. They moved into a very expensive apartment. And she was like, I feel like they'd live in a fairy tale, but like a new type of fairy tale where Cinderella is like 76 years old, you know?
It's like when that old lady played in Enchanted. That old redhead lady.
It's like watching Sleeping Beauty, but like Angela Lansbury is the teapot.
It's like Sleeping Beauty, but you're like, oh my God, is she ever going to wake up?
It's like when Helen Mirren played Rapunzel in a movie that I once dreamed of.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So Danielle, back to Danielle, she's like, well, you know, look, things can't always be great, Carl. Me and Robert fight. I mean, he works all the fucking time. I mean, I'm not going to cry. Wait, hold on.
I'm not going to cry. I don't care. Please don't try and cry.
Okay. Well, I won't cry, but it is really hard, you know, and we're not always perfect. And so when I see Carl and Lindsay, I just want them to have a relationship where they can talk about the hard stuff too.
So here it all is. Basically, Danielle and Robert are on the road to breakup because they have now since broken up. Spoiler. So she's miserable. She's going through it. So that's what's really driving Danielle right now, which is it's not so much that like, oh, I'm in misery, so you have to be in misery too. Although that may be a component of it, but it's more like she's projecting issues from her relationship onto their relationship. She's not necessarily wrong, but I feel like the motivation is less about like, I'm concerned about you guys. Her motivation is more like this is how she's processing the shit that's going on in her relationships.
I see her motivation as just pure, hey, you guys are my only friends. Like, we hang out every weekend.
And she's left out.
We were the three amigos, and now you guys are together and you just completely ignore me.
Yes, I 100% agree with that. But I think her rationale, like, why does their relationship have to be like your failing relationship, you know? And I know what she's saying. She's saying, like, you guys are acting like everything is great, but I know things aren't great. But then, like, so let them have their own let them have their honeymoon period.
We're entitled to our own delusions. You know what I mean? I mean, the worst thing that can happen is for you to say, how are you? And then somebody to actually tell you. Like, I'm not really asking. Like, how are you? Oh, you won't believe it. This is what's happening.
I'm tired.
This person has this and that person has that. And I do everything. It's like, no one's really asking. You know, we all know this. And I feel like that's kind of Danielle's like, just be open and honest. No, I'd rather see them being fake than fighting all the time. Well, actually, I'm watching television. So, you know, we know this is going in the effort direction, right? Where it's just going to be these two screaming and yelling at each other for the rest of their lives. And you see a glimpse of it when Carl gets pissed off at her and when he's like, oh, you'll know when I'm coming at you. You know it's just going to turn into that Everett relationship again.
Well, and I think the foundation of this, of what Danielle is feeling, is also that, yeah, their whole trio of friendship has now been affected. She is being left out, and she's being left out for what she sees as probably a relationship that is doomed because they're not being honest with each other, and they're going too fast, and it's frustrating because she also is going to have to be on the receiving end of hearing them complain about each other to her. Like, she sees all the fakery in it, but I think it's, like, especially, like, she can't come from a place of like, well, they're just going to have to do what they do until they fail. I think the fact that her relationship is failing is causing her to like really care about this more than she should. Even though she's not wrong, she's just caring too much.
God, I'm bored. I mean, this is Danielle talk. How much can we talk about Danielle? This is the most we've ever talked about Danielle.
I know.
In like 7 years.
Yeah, I know. It's amazing. Yeah. So Lindsay is like, she's talking to Paige and she's like, you know, that would be like me saying, I'm nervous that your boyfriend is a chef. And Paige goes, that's true. And that was savage. And I'm going to go tell her that you said that. Hold on 1 second. She went with her boyfriend after 2 months.
She cackles after she says something serious and then laughs. Love it. So then back to Danielle. She's like, come on, Carl, be real. If you want to say something, fucking say it. And then back to Paige. She's like, well, she was concerned, that's all. She goes, well, it seems like a wild concern. Well, I was under the impression that you know how she felt. I mean, she it just seemed like it. I mean, how could you not know how she feels? Isn't she your best friend?
Oh, Paige.
Isn't she the one who helps you cross the street?
You know, I love watching. Paige acts like she doesn't have any hobbies. But here she is, for years now, sewing this quilt. This, like, anti-Lindsay quilt. And it's actually become one of the most enjoyable things about this show, I have to say. Just watching Paige just find that moment where she can kind of squeeze in there and be like,
oh, wow, I just finished this panel. Look at it. It says... Aren't you supposed to be friends? 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 All right, I'm just going to cuddle up with this nice quilt I just finished while you go. Your friendship is in the demise. Go ahead. Go.
So then we have a moment where Chris sits down with two women and he goes, ladies, how are we feeling? I like your eyes. Yours are really green. God. Hazel?
Boy.
Yellow? Boy. And they just don't say anything. They just look at him like... Oh, my God.
Because he's really looking into their eyes like, oh, are those green? No, they're hazel. Okay, look at me. Let me look at yours. Oh, yeah, you've got more brown. More brown than hers, which are hazel. Ugh, fucking gross, dude. So Gabby, apparently someone's asked Gabby if her boobs are fake. And she's just
run with it.
That's her thing. Yeah, she's just going around and going, oh, my God, somebody asked me if my boobs are fake. Do they look fake? I'm so flattered.
Cheers, guys. Cheers to me having boobs that look fake.
So then Danielle walks.
Paige goes, I do think you need to talk to Danielle. There she is. I gotta pee. Be back. She literally runs away.
And scene. So Lindsay's like, well, fuck you, Paige.
And Danielle's like, well, what were you guys talking about?
Well, she was talking about you.
Oh, good stuff or bad stuff?
Bad stuff?
That stuff. Whoa, that bitch. Okay. All right. Well, what did she have to say?
Well, she was just like, Danielle's your best friend is like concerned about your relationship, you know?
And Danielle's like, always. I mean, that's a best friend.
And she goes, yeah, but she said you were saying it's too fast for us to move in. And she goes, no, I didn't say that. I just said you guys are moving hella fast. And Lindsay goes, what do you mean hella fast? And Danielle looks at her like, come on. And she goes, we've known each other 6 years. And she goes, well, not like in a relationship sense, okay? It's fast. I'm allowed to say that. And Lindsay gets all defensive. And she's like, I want to have babies, and this man wants to have babies with me.
Okay. Danielle's like, you're being so fucking defensive. It's annoying.
Well, Danielle, you said we were living in a fairy tale. Like, what is this fairy tale that we're living in? Because it's pretty amazing. Can someone call up the Brothers Grimm and rename it the Brothers Carl Lindsay, thank you.
I'm sorry, I'm back. I just wanted to say you should name it the Brothers Graham. LOL. Bye.
Okay, I'll be over here. Brothers Grandma. Hey, Lindsay, I just want you to know there was a wolf that was spotted out in the driveway, so just be careful if it tries to eat you. Okay. Hey, Grandma.
So Danielle's like, you know, you guys don't talk about real stuff. You don't like to have fights. And she's like, well... One thing, Carl doesn't like to have hard conversations. I'm the hard conversation girl. And she goes, yeah, but Lindsay, when he didn't stick up for you, I thought you were going to be like, why don't you stick up for me? She goes, well, I was upset. She goes, well, you didn't show you were upset. And she goes, because I've been trying to do therapy.
Yeah.
I've been trying to be a better person.
She's like, well, I don't want to lose two of my best friends.
Danielle, you're like never going to lose me. It's like a fairy tale where you don't lose someone, you know?
And Danielle's like, well, sometimes I feel like I am. Like, I feel like your relationship sometimes feels like it's off limit to talk about. Like, I'm not trying to talk shit about your relationship. I just have opinions and I don't want to not share them. And she's like, well, if you're going to talk shit, at least tell me first. Thank you.
Yeah, she's like, why am I having to hear this from Paige of all people? And she's like, I get it, but, you know, I just want you guys to be, like, more 100, okay? Okay, Danielle's like someone's mom today, being like, hey, can we keep it for real, real, okay? Let's get us to 100, okay, guys? Let's keep it real at 100.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but Lindsay, here is the Tom Brady jersey that you wanted. There was something about 80 for Brady involved with this. I don't know.
Oh, good. So then Gabby across the yard is like, oh, my God, everybody is thinking my boobs are paid for. Here's a cheers. Let's do a toast to my boobs.
That was the moment where I thought, oh, am I going to start disliking Gabby now? I sort of was like, I've really enjoyed Gabby. I think she's been so good. But I was like, oh, she's that girl.
They cast her to be annoying, yeah. Right? I mean, they cast the most cloyingly childish, spoiled brat of all time. You know, I think she's supposed to be annoying. Personally, I do not dislike her at all. I think she's hilarious so far. But I'll bet she's going to get really on enjoying people's damn nerves.
I've been really enjoying her, but this was like the moment where I was like, oh, I've met girls like this, where it's like all night long. Can you believe it? Like someone literally thought my boobs were fake. Okay, I'm just gonna call it like a fake boob party, you know? And then it's like for weeks, it's that. And like, oh, please don't be that person, Gabby.
So they're kicking They're kicking people out now, and Sierra and Paige go into their room to change. And Sierra's like, "Are you ready for the assassination of Karma Brown? Because she's got to go." And then she takes off her wig, and she's like, "Enchilada, bam!" And scene. Thank you.
And scene. Karma Brown out. So they're just sort of like hanging around. There's like pizza that's arrived. Carl's like, "Oh, I need something that I need something to eat. I can't even eat straight. I can't even see straight. Like, babe." Pizza's here. Guess we're going to have to do some more barriers tomorrow. Yeah, babe.
And Sierra's like, okay, people, what would we rate the party? And Danielle's like, a solid 6.5. And so then Danielle's reviewing it. She's like, no music. There was barely any alcohol. I mean, and Gabby comes. She's like, what are you guys talking about? She goes, yeah, you're getting a 6.5 out of 10.
Yeah, that's her.
And Paige goes, boop.
So then more pizza arrives, and then we have this weird Trixie Monocle song where she sings, "You keep counting it down, retweet." I was like, what? I was like, I don't think these songs are even real. Now it's just like someone just found, Trixie was just like doing something in her house, and they just wrote down the lyrics.
Open an envelope, the ring cam. Like, what? So then sounds like, oh my God, Kyle, your kids are going to be obsessed with you because like, how could they not be? Because like your energy affects the whole house and that's a good quality to have. And he's wasted. He's like, yeah, well, I want to make sure everyone around me has as much fun as possible, you know? She goes, yeah. And I know you've got shit going on, but like when your energy down, it also affects the house. So, you know, we just want to have fun, you know? He's like, yeah, I appreciate that. Kyle, she's telling you your alcoholic house is bringing the house down. Okay.
Hey, you know, it'd be interesting. It's so interesting how like your vibe really affects the house. I wonder how your vibe would affect Montauk. Thinking like maybe we go to Montauk and try that out. I don't know. Just spitballing here.
So then Chris is talking about girls. He's like, oh, this guy. He's like, yeah, I love a girl I don't have to force a conversation with. Like, I'd be like, there's nothing there. You know what I mean? Like, if I say your eyes are green, no wait, they're hazel, you better have a follow-up, okay?
I know.
Because I grew up with four brothers, and then I graduated, and I went straight into the Marine Corps, all dudes. I was like, oh, okay.
That explains your inability to talk to women. He's never met a woman before this summer, I think. I think that's what it is. He's like, yeah, I just want to, like, I want to talk to a bunch of girls. I want to meet a bunch of them. I want to talk to them. And if I've learned anything, it's that you can't force things to work. You know, love finds a way. I was like, I hate that this guy who is like a terrible conversationalist. He's like, it's painful to watch him on screen. Is now gonna like be the judge of whether someone else is a good conversationalist. Like, yeah, if I have to force it, they don't get all this. It's like, no.
Oh, gosh. Sam's still going around going, want to go to Montauk? And Kyle's like, I want to, but I have babies and I can't. And Amanda's like, I'm a mom now, Kyle. And so Gabby's like, I'm going to Montauk. I wonder if they're going to think my boobs are fake.
So now the big drama of the episode, because Lindsay clearly wants to go to Montauk. She's like, Montauk? Like, she has like a Pavlovian response. Like, But then she like suddenly she hedges and Paige is like, come on, Lindsay. I know you want to go to Montauk. I know you heard the rumors. Prune juice all night long.
Lindsay just starts eating. She's like, I don't know why I'm eating. It was Pavlovian.
And so Lindsay turns to Carl and goes, so you want to go to Montauk, babe? And he goes, do you want to go? Which is my way of saying absolutely not. And she's like, And she sort of gives him this look Her face says, I 100% want to go, but I'm too afraid to disagree with you right now and cause a fight.
And he's like, it's far. She goes, yeah, it's far. Yeah, you're also on a show about fucking partying all summer, okay? So if you're going to show up, do your job. I'm not saying get drunk, but you can't just do this like I'm going to fucking bed at 9. Go away. Who is this Carl? I don't like this Carl. Congrats on your sobriety. I hope you keep it. You can even do it on my TV, but you can't just turn into a completely boring person. There are fun, sober people, all right?
You can also do, like, you can also be away from each other for one night. It's, like, not the end of the world.
Let her, just tell her to go and stop guilting her. Like, what, you're going to have to go to sleep at 10 at the same...
That's what I hated about this. I hated that Carl was like, oh, I feel like staying in, but you should go out. Like, you should have fun, babe. Like, we don't see him say that, which is, like, so bad. And I think it's sort of a sad state for Lindsay, too, because I think Lindsay is so eager to be in a relationship, get her timeline back, like have babies, that she is terrified of potentially jeopardizing any of that by saying, I want to go out. She's afraid of what fight that might cause. She's afraid of the acrimony. She's afraid that like everything may fall apart. She doesn't actually feel secure in the relationship, which is not saying it's a bad relationship. Just like, I feel bad that she doesn't feel like she can even suggest like you stay in and I'll go out.
Well, she shouldn't feel secure in it, because if you're with somebody who's really working their ass off to be sober, and then you go sober with them for, what'd she say, 5 months or whatever? She said it a million times, but like 5 months. And then you decide, okay, we're going to go back on this show about drinking and I'm no longer going to be sober. And then you go out and party. She should be worried, because it would be the best thing. Like, any therapist would tell him, yeah, you shouldn't be around that. Like,
right. This and is, she's is probably more worried
to take care of your sobriety. You should not be around somebody who needs to be partying still, you know?
And she's probably worried, like, oh my God, I can't even do this for my boo, that he needs this for me, whatever, yada, 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 yada. But the point is, ultimately, Carl should have said, I'm going to stay in, you go out and have fun. But instead, he goes over to the sofa and just like flops down on the sofa. And she's like, so you're going to sleep already? Which I wonder if she was saying that to be like, well, since you're going to sleep, maybe I'll go out, you know?
Yeah.
But he's like, no, I'm just taking a little break from sitting on the chair over there. So I decided to come to the sofa over here instead.
So then Danielle's like, are we going to Montauk? And Lindsay just looks at her and she tells us, yeah, in the past I would say Montauk and Lindsay would just immediately be there, you know? And it's like, bitch, I know you want to go to Montauk. And Sierra's like, Lindsay, you going to Montauk? And Lindsay's like, trying to figure it out. Are you going? And she's like, thinking about it. She goes, you're the single one, bitch.
When she says trying to figure that out, that's her way of like saying, I want to go. I'm waiting for Carl to say, go to Montauk, you know?
Exactly. So, she's like, I'm standing in line at a governmental office waiting for a stamp on my passport, you know?
I know.
I can't just walk through the barrier. I'm going to be, like, kicked out of the country.
I have swiped my Metro card, and I'm waiting for the turnstile to register my balance. So she's like, so then Sierra's like, well, you want to go out, bitch. I know you want to go out, bitch. And she goes, well, I'm in a relationship, which I think is even more like, hey, I here's me getting credit for considering your feelings, Carl. Now you can consider my feelings and say, go out. But of course,
Amanda jokes, never stopped, Kyle. And they all laugh too hard. And Lindsay, and you know, that is kind of a good point. She had to go through so much shit with Kyle and still probably does. But they still did whatever the fuck they wanted in the end, right? And they're still together. So
Lindsay is just like, I mean, she so clearly wants to go. She's like, Maya, is that your name? I don't think I've ever spoken to you before, but are you going to Montauk? Are you going to Montauk, Maya? Maya's like, no.
And Sam's like, I'm going to Montauk. Yes, Sam, we fucking know you're going to Montauk. So Carl's like, I want to stay. I want to do a fire, and I'm going to see what the wood situation is. Anybody have Luke's number? No, somebody call Luke. I really need to have Coyote blaring through a Bluetooth speaker while I check on the wood. So
I hated that he wasn't like, I'm going to do a fire, but Lindsay, if you want to go out, you should go out. Like, I hated that so much, because we all know those couples. Like, we all know those couples who are just like, where one person is clearly not getting to do what they want to do because one person's calling all the sort of the social shots. And it's always like,
right. I cut him a little bit of a break on this, only because
he is probably thinking, like, I got, you know, like, now she's drinking again. Now she wants to go party all night. Like,
fair.
It's kind of, it's probably like a test in a way, you know? Like, is she going to be able to do this?
Mm-hmm. It is fair, because he probably doesn't want to encourage her to do that, because, well, he knows she'll come back drunk and it'll be a pain in the ass. So I get that. I do get that. But that's not hitting my past experiences that I'm triggered by. So that's unfortunate, because while I do get that, the rational side of my brain does get that. My irrational side, which has dealt with couples like this before, where you basically want to go out and party with one and the other one's like, oh, sleep on staying in and watching Goonies again. You're like, oh.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Well, I think this is just a pretty clear moment where it's like, you guys shouldn't be together. Lindsay's not ready. Lindsay's not ready for what you need. You know, you need sobriety, and you need somebody not wanting to go out. Lindsay wants to, she clearly still wants to have that kind of lifestyle. Even if she's going to transition into the other, there are moms, married moms, who still want to go party all the damn time. Ask mine. I mean, those country club ladies are no fucking joke. They were just missing a little EDM, you know, really. I mean, they were all dressed the same, but all they were really missing was some EDM. And those ladies were bumping all day. They were just fucking wasted all day long partying, you know?
Well, I would revise it to say it's not so much that Lindsay's not ready. It's that Lindsay's not doing what she wants to do. And I think that's like, you know, she's holding back from what she wants to do. Mm-hmm. So then Lindsay sits down with Danielle and she's like, well, you know what, Danielle, like if I was single, I'd be going, but I'm not, which that I don't like that. I don't like that. And Danielle's like, well, I'm not single. And Lindsay's like, yeah, but you're like not leaving him to go out. Like, and then come in. Like your boyfriend's like not a series regular is what I'm trying to say. Like he's just sort of like this like pale person who like shows up once in a while and cooks us food. So like it's like a little different, you know?
Literally nobody cares about your pale ass, dark circles under the eyes, odd boyfriend, okay, from a Tim Burton movie. No one cares.
So like, trying to make it work for like 4 years now, and like seriously, it's never going to happen. So let's like move on from that. You're basically single.
Yeah, and she's like, yeah, well, you're not leaving your boyfriend to go out. And Danielle's like, well, A, he's never home. She doesn't say that, but that's also another thing that Danielle probably resents. Like her boyfriend, she never fucking gets to see. So she has to go still kind of live this life, right? Where she's like trying to meet new people and doing all this. And then Lindsay's in a relationship where it, from Danielle's point of view, she's probably got everything because she's got this guy that loves her. They're really committed. She sees him all the time. They're living together, all that. But she won't go out and still be with Danielle. There's a lot at play there. So anyway, Danielle's like, literally, you could do whatever the fuck you want to. And she goes, well, if I was single, I would, you know, but he doesn't want to go, so I'm not going to. And Danielle says, she goes, why would I want to? Why would I want to go without Carl? And Danielle's like, to hang out with me, maybe? Hello. And Lindsay actually says, but Montauk is a very far away to go hang out with you. Bye.
Wow. That's so rude.
So fucking rude.
Because Lindsay's basically saying, well, you should just stay here. Well, if you want to hang out, we can just stay here. But it's like, that's rude. Like, Danielle wants to go out and have fun with her best friend. And, like, I get it, too, also, you know, like, sometimes even if you want to do something else, it's more important to prioritize your boo. Because maybe you've been going out a lot all week, so you want to spend time with your boo. But, like, you've just had the whole night, you had the whole day with your boo. Like, go out. Go out with Danielle. Have fun. It's rude.
Yeah.
So now people are going, finally, it's time, guys. Time to finally go out to Montauk. So a bunch of them go out to Montauk. And then we see the guy sitting around the fire. And they're basically just sitting there. And then we hear Carl going, yeah, I'm going to head in. Yeah, I'm going to go upstairs. Going in. Yeah.
I built the fire. So that's it. Bye.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, great time. Glad I stayed home for this. So then Gabby, Sam, and Danielle return, and they love the AC because it's really hot, and they attack the pizza, basically. And Sam tells us, I just got ghosted by Tim. Literally put me in an Uber and slammed the door. So on the second date. So I tell him, look, I don't want to sleep with you here because like I don't want a hit and run situation. And he says to me, I would never do that.
It's like, You know what it feels? It feels stupid even just saying it right now. Oh, wait, hold on. I just got a text message. OMG. He's dating Bernadette Peters now. That is crazy. That is crazy.
So Sam is like, personally, guys, I think I'm fucking annoying. Like, when I date new people, I apologize for my personality. I'll repeat because I'm, like, so embarrassed to be myself. And Danielle's like, why would you think that? And Gabby goes, that's a trauma thing. I get it. Like, earlier, people thought my boobs were fake.
And Danielle's like, listen, Sam, you should never tell yourself that you're annoying. That's for us to tell you. You should think you're great, okay? So Sam is saying how she dated this guy who was like really abusive and like, you know, would say things like, you're so embarrassing, it's hideous. And, you know, would say that her teeth were hideous and that she hasn't smiled with her teeth in 4 years because he told her that her teeth were disgusting and that she can't shut up and she's a know-it-all. So basically a real charmer. Or I'm assuming it was someone who
used this guy. God.
And have they been cast on Vanderpump Rules yet? Because it seems like that kind of... That seems like perfect for that show.
Yeah, sounds like a waiter's captain to me. So Danielle's like, I just want to tell you how you come across is like the most genuine, bubbly, lighthearted person. And sounds like, oh, but like things keep happening this summer and it brings back that insecurity that I like, I'm just too much. And then we see the clip of Maya taking her into the pantry and going, shut up. I know. You need to stop talking, please, for all of our sakes, or whatever she said to her.
Yeah, she's like, you know what, this summer, I came here to be myself, and I will no longer be insecure. Hold on one second. Oh, that guy I was interested in would rather date Madonna than me. Current, present day Madonna than me. Okay, still secure. Still totally secure in myself.
Right. So she's like, yeah, I like to laugh too loud or be too excited about something, but Danielle's right. I'm going to be myself no matter what, because I came here to make friends that value who I am. It's like,
You go, Sam. Also, turning to Bravo TV is not where to find it, but I support the thought behind it. So now it's the morning and people are cleaning up. It's Amanda's birthday. So some of the girls they're going to do like a bagel breakfast. So they're actually waking up early. Paige is like, I will get out of bed for Amanda Petula all day, every day. I will wake up at 7 a.m. for that bitch because I love her. But also note, I will never do this again. This is a one-time only offer. Thanks. Bye.
So they all have to clean and put this bagel spread together or whatever. And Paige, of course, sees Maya. So she's like, oh my God, did you hear that Lindsay wanted to go out? She so wanted to go out. And she was trying to make Carl go out. And I'm like, this man is like 40 on a couch. Like, where do you think he's going? I think she's like trying to be better for him, but And Paige gets this huge smile on her face. And Maya's like, yeah, but it's like at the expense of what she wants.
And Paige goes, I mean, that means you're like not being yourself. And Maya says, yeah, and when you make sacrifices for your partner, that leads to resentment. Okay, Paige, do the thing I know you love to do. 1,000%.
All right, so Maya, why don't you do what you do best? Bring it. You know you want to. She's like, okay, well, like I've been in a relationship with my ex. It's just Kwame, and then like his food. It's like a gallery of Kwame food. And she's like, well, we're different people. And Oliver is like the most outgoing guy. He has like 350 friends, and I have like 5. And Sierra's like, what are you guys talking about? She's like, hold on. Could you rewind the Kwame food clips? Okay, thanks.
And then, actually, can you just say something also devastating about Lindsay so I can say 1,000% again?
That's Panzanella. I don't want to talk about it.
You know what looks like Panzanella? Lindsay's face. 1,000%. I just agreed with myself. I was so excited.
Panzanella is like the bread version of Grisabella, who's like the cat version of Lindsay.
Have you ever seen a crouton go off to heaven? That's what Panzanella does every single time.
So Kyle comes home from working out. Oh, is there anybody want to look at my sweaty butt? Because it's here.
So Lindsay's like, babe, so I leave my hair down, babe. And he's like, oh, God, look it down, babe. Yeah, look it down. Wow, your hair looks well rested. So I guess your hair didn't go to Montauk last night, huh? Looks good, babe.
Yeah. Yeah, your hair, it's like your hair is putting all its weight on your nape. I love that. Love that. Nape. Isn't that the back part of your neck? Why does that sound weird when I say nape?
It does. Nape of your neck. It's like, but yeah.
Isn't it weird when you say nape in Carl voice? It doesn't sound like a real word anymore. Oh, that's so weird.
So they're cleaning outside and setting it up and blah, blah, blah. So in the kitchen, they're asking Danielle how Montauk was. And Danielle's like, it was fun until we got kicked out because Sam laid down on a pool table or something. I think she was trying to impress Tim, but it kind of backfired.
It was weird. She started singing Like a Virgin. I think she's really screwed up by this whole Madonna thing.
I love that she got kicked out for lying down on a pool table trying to be sexy. Get out.
So then Amanda comes downstairs, and so they start singing Happy Birthday to her, and Chris is doing that thing that people sometimes do where they go cha-cha-cha in between, you know, where they go, Happy Birthday to you, cha-cha-cha. But he keeps doing it, like he messes it up. I was like, you can't even get the cha-cha-cha right, because they're going like, Happy Birthday to you, and he's like, cha-cha-cha.
Yeah,
happy
he sucks.
Birthday to
and
you.
What's weird, what's cha-cha. Super weird about it is that he doesn't really have Marine Corps energy. He has like office party energy. You know, like when it's somebody's birthday in the office and you all have to sing happy birthday and there's always that like cha-cha-cha person. That's office energy. I don't think the Marines are like, happy birthday to you, cha-cha-cha. I just don't see it, you know?
He's the guy at the office who every time it's like, hey, you want to go to lunch? Yeah, you want to hit up Tremana downstairs? It's like, well, no, I don't want to go to the shitty cafeteria down in the lobby. And then like everyone hears that you guys are going to Tremana, and so no one wants to join. And then like you're stuck going with him to Tremana because you feel bad backing out, and everyone else goes to the better lunch option. That's what Chris is. And if you don't know what Tremana is, just know it's a terrible, like a terrible chain of like office building delis. I can't describe it, but it's like the worst. It's like the worst thing of all time.
So
you're like, I don't know where you're going with this, Ben, but I'll let you just.
But I like it. I learned a lot about offices and where you eat lunch.
I'll just watch as you land that plane, that Tremana plane.
I have no help in the Tremana department. I'm so
no,
sorry.
I realized I was like, me. I started saying like, it's like a Tremana thing as if everyone knows what Tremana is. And I was like, no one knows what Tremana is. But now
I just feel like actually lucky we found each other and became such good friends, because I am that person getting dissed in the office that nobody wants to go to lunch with. And you're like, hey, you want to go to lunch? And then you're like, oh my God, everyone just went to Chili's, you know? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm holding this person back. He's going to hate me.
I'm the one who always gets sucked
for an hour.
I get sucked in going to Tremana with Chris. Like I'm just looking at Tremana, like pictures of it right now. I'm just getting mad all over again.
Hey, Ben.
What?
Your eyes are green. No, wait, they're hazel. Oh my God, I am Chris. I've become Chris. So they're singing Happy Birthday, and they're singing cha-cha-cha. It in that way that, like, it's like, look, we did something for your birthday. We put bagels on a plate, and you're supposed to feel touched, but they're singing Happy Birthday like this. Happy birthday to you. It's like a death dirge. You know, it's like when people just want you to fucking die already. Okay.
But that's also how, like, it's kind of how Amanda talks. So they were just, like, really in character.
They were, like, in the style of Amanda. Like Happy birthday to Kyle.
They're like ChatGPT. Sing Happy Birthday in the style of Amanda Petula.
So Kyle's like, last year was a big one. It was 30. And I was caught up in the wedding and I was kind of a dick. And we see a clip of Luke getting her. What did he get her? He got her something so meaningful. He's like, wow.
Yeah, it was like, I adopted a star in your name or something.
Yeah, like, here's a star named after you, and every time you look up at it, it'll be looking down at you and these cute little puppies I bought you. It's like, whoa, it's like the most thoughtful thing in the world.
When God wakes up, the first thing he sees is Jupiter Hollow, which is why I bought you a road sign there. So, yeah, so Kyle's like, well, I'm going to make up with it for it. So without any further ado, he goes into a room and he pulls out, like, obviously a big canvas, and everyone's like, oh,
here's
okay.
A cardboard cut out of yourself. Kyle, I already have that. It's from our house.
He got her some art, but we don't really even get to see the full art, and I believe it's because I think if they showed the full art that Bravo would have to blur it out or something. So
we saw,
like,
it. We saw some of the art. Well, we saw the art, and there's a lot of talk about Amanda's eating because Amanda looks so thin. I mean, I'm not going to talk about that because I'm not – that's gross. And B, because Amanda's always been thin. So like, I don't get people really, but there's been a lot of talk online about that. And this painting is not going to help. Okay. It's fruit It's all different kinds of fruit, and it says fruit therapy. I'm like, you know, she doesn't need that this season, Kyle. You know, you fucked up again, Kyle. You fucked up again.
I know. All I was thinking was like, well, have fun transporting that out of the Hamptons with your oversized canvas. Not even your big SUV could fit that thing. I don't believe it would fit into an SUV, but what do I know? Yeah. So, you know, I'm making a lot of, we're late in the episode, I'm making hot, I have hot takes about the size of that canvas vis-a-vis the size of his SUV and about Trumana. So who knows what the third thing is. It always happens in three. You never know what the third thing on my mind is going to be. But either way, gets this R. Everyone's like, cool, cool. And Amanda's like, thanks, everyone. This is exactly how I prefer to celebrate my birthdays. Low key and in summation, Kyle.
Like, I know, it doesn't sound like she was very happy. She's like, wow, guys, thanks. Bagels for breakfast. So now everybody's packing to go. And Lindsay's like, oh, my God, I am so hot right now. And Carl's like, yeah, you are. Yeah, babe. So hot.
Kyle's like, dude, this is like the hottest day. And they're like walking out to the car. And Lindsay catches Amanda in the foyer and goes, so what are you doing this week? And Amanda's like, because she knows exactly what Lindsay's doing. She's like, I'm doing dinner with my family. I think we start on Monday and go through Friday, I think. And
every day this week. Every day is a different theme of family dinner. So,
I think we're going to get together. Yeah. I think I'm going to Trumana.
There you go. There you go. And she's like, do you want to go to Trumana together? And Amanda's like, okay. Just by yourselves. And she's like, well, I'll take a look at my calendar. Amanda, you live two doors down from your office, and you have one night with your family planned. You're stuck. You're going to fucking dinner. Don't try this. I'm going to look at my calendar bullshit. I've looked at your calendar. There's nothing on it. All nothing. It says is all day.
All day.
You didn't even all choose a time. You choose the all day event option.
Yeah. So she's nervous. She's like, we haven't hung out in years, and I'm just like a little nervous, which honestly, I'd be nervous too if Lindsay was like, do you want to hang out? Just me and you. I'd be like,
yeah. Yeah, because she's doing it with that insane smile too, or she's about to rip you a new one. Yeah. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of Summer House and everybody. Thank you so much for being here. We will see you later this week in Denver, Salt Lake City, followed by Seattle and San Francisco the week after. Go to Watch What Crappens to get your ticket links. And we sure love you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, She Don't Take No Baloney. Christy Wowardy Dowardy.
Dana C. Dana Do. She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels. Aaron McNicholas, She Don't Miss No Trickolas.
Ava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, She Has No Last Namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
You're never alone with Lacey Monteleone.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg. Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good. Can't stop fanning over Tina Manning.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Better do what she says, it's Elva Enriquez. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides. Undo your fasteners, it's Erin Kastner.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. She's a good hobby, it's Lauren Hobgood. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters. Nancy Cease and Desisto.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.